I'm going to call the June meeting of the Agriculture, Industry, and Planning Committee to order. We'll dispense with the Pledge of Allegiance because that never seems to work out very well. The first order of business is to approve the minutes from the May 6, 2020 meeting. Do I have a motion?
Motion, Aaron Mullen.
Second?
Hilda.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carried. Amy DeLugos, you're first up on the agenda. Amy, you're on.
She's muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay, Amy. Yes, we hear you.
You hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I have my technology. My first two items are related. So we received our CARES Act funding for public transportation, and they put that, New York State DOT has put that in two separate contracts. Item one is CARES Act funding for mobility management services. And I believe you got the resolutions. I don't know if you have any questions or.
Any questions from committee members? Okay, it looks pretty standard, Amy, right?
Yeah.
Right. So this, we're going to take these separately.
Yeah, they're two separate resolutions.
Mullen, I'll make the motion.
I have a second for accepting the CARES Act funding.
Second it is Paul.
Okay, thank you. Being that there's no questions, can I hear the vote for accepting the CARES Act funding, please?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Amy, the next one?
Yeah, the next item is related to the first two. Just a need to amend the contracts with the operators and with the Institute in order to get this funding to them.
And the amendment mainly has to do with the way the transportation department set up the funding?
Yeah, so we don't have this funding in our current contracts with them. So we need to put this in their contracts, and then we'll attach the state contracts so they understand they have to abide by all the rules and regulations. There's quite a bit of documentation and things they're going to have to provide. And as Jennifer Prosek said, these are really dense contracts. So, and when a lawyer says they're dense contracts, it's a little intimidating. But so we'll be attaching the state contracts to their agreement so that all those, the dense language in there applies to them as well.
Okay, any questions from the committee?
I just had a question. This is Mullen about were we paying for this by county out of pocket funds before, or was it state funding that we had?
We have it's a mixture. It's 80% federal, 10% state, and then there's a 10% local match. The local match is done a couple different ways. So the local match, for example, for mobility management, they have other contracts they can use to make that match. And a lot of the match for the operating, again, they're able to use different contracts to match it. The only funding that the county puts in for local money out of our general fund is about, if I recall, it's around $23,000 out of the bus operations fund.
Yeah, I think we budget 50 because it's changed.
Yeah.
But that's not the actual spend. So the local share is relatively low for the size of the operation.
So what is the practical effect of this? Does it save the county and the state money? It saves us up to $50,000 if that's what we had budgeted.
Well, so this funding is 100% federal with no matches required. So the intent is it's going to reimburse that. So, for example, First Transit, they've all lost revenue because they had to decrease the ridership. And also, for example, First Transit eliminated their fare box for safety reasons. So, you know, it's meant to make up some of that lost revenue and extra expenses that they've had, PPE costs, extra cleaning, that kind of thing. And I'm a little unclear, and I'm working this out, asking DOT, like, what qualifies for this funding and what doesn't. And what documentation we're going to have to provide. So I'll be working on that with DOT and the providers. And there's no deadline to spend it all either. So it, you know, if we don't spend it now and there's another, you know, problem in the fall where we have to go back to a lot of the expense, then, you know, that money, we don't have to spend it all now. It'll be there.
Well, I don't understand. And if the money is coming to the county, if we were only paying the 10% match before, why this large of a grant was coming to us, but we maybe, and maybe you just answered that and I didn't understand it well enough, but is it in part to prop up these other agencies that are losing money on it?
Yeah, and Aaron, some of those things, it's tough to make a one-for-one correlation of what's under the CARES Act. There's been a number of things that the CARES Act has helped support that, you know, in some cases supplanted more than they projected to lose. So essentially, it's just enhanced funding for them to contemplate and make up for the covering of additional cleaning, the loss of ridership fees, and those things.
And so it goes through the county to these other entities like Arc of Steuben and First Transit?
Yeah, we're the pass-through, yep.
Mm-hmm. It's not so much for the county as it is for those companies.
Correct. And like we talked about on some of this before, that especially for the mobility management and other things, if we didn't contract with these agencies, you know, we potentially would have to look at standing up our own bus system or a bunch of different other options. So it's been efficient and worked for us pretty well thus far.
Okay. It all has to do with providing ridership and transportation for constituents who don't have access otherwise.
Makes sense.
Okay. So do I hear a motion for accepting the CARES funding for the public transportation operating assistance?
Mr. Paul, I make the motion.
And a second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, carried. Amy, next item.
Yeah, this is the item we discussed last month about using some of our well and septic CDBG funds for the rental assistance program. We have been given through HUD and through Office of Community Renewal the ability to repurpose CDBG funds that are already released to address rental problems. I'm not sure that, so as you recall, we have about 697 households that are on a waiting list at Arbor for rental assistance. They did get their, they have another funding pot home that has been approved, which can help people up to 60% of average median income. And they've started to process some of those applications. The thought was, they feel they have a need to help people that are in the 60 to 80% AMI, which is what we can use CDBG funds for, up to 80% of AMI with rent. So they would requalify people monthly and they could get 3 months of rent going back to April. And we were thinking somewhere between 20 and 30, no more than 30,000 of our CDBG funds that we have would be used for this. The recipients do receive, and I don't think I had this information last month, they do receive a minimum of 1 hour of financial counseling from a HUD-certified financial counselor. They have two of those at Arbor, and anybody who would be involved in this program would get a minimum of 1 hour of financial counseling. They do try to get them to do more, but they have to have at least 1 hour where they go through, you know, all their finances and, you know, where they're at, what they're doing, you know, try to help them plan to make the most of what they have to work with and address their most immediate needs. So, you know, the intent is, I guess, to provide some stability and certainty, not only to the renters, to the families, but also to the landlords. Right now, I believe evictions are on hold until August 20th, is my understanding, but, you know, people will still owe the rent. Now, after the last meeting, Aaron suggested a couple things he would like to see in the program, one of which would be we would not assist people who were receiving the enhanced unemployment. So anybody who was receiving the extra $600 a week wouldn't qualify for this. And I did discuss with OCR what we could do, and they said we can make it more restrictive. We can't make it less restrictive. We can make it more restrictive. So that's something we could do. Either take that, if they're getting the $600, we can include that as part of their income calculation, or we could just say, look, if you're getting the $600, you know, you're not going to qualify for this program. That's doable. The other one would be a little harder. Aaron, you suggested doing it as like a forgivable loan. The well and septic grants we do are actually what we call deferred grants. They're actually a loan. We put a lien on the property. So if that property is sold within 5 years, they have to pay back a prorated amount of the grant that they received for their septic system, and it's prorated over the 5 years. So if they sell, you know, we have a lien, they have to pay that back. We're not quite sure how we would do a loan program for rental assistance. We're not sure. We can't put a lien on anything. We're not sure how we would get that money back if they, so I think your suggestion, Aaron, was like it would be forgiven, but if they got another state or federal program payment for tenants, that we'd want them to pay back what they got from this program, which is understandable. I'm just not quite sure what the mechanism would be to do that. Maybe somebody else knows, but we weren't quite sure how we would structure that to make it a loan, a forgivable loan.
Could I speak to that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my thought was just that I was thinking the state or federal government may end up subsidizing some of this rent. And if it came back, that it would be good to be able to be repaid for paying their rent. And I would think that it would be worth the time to do the contract, just to have them sign and say they'll pay it back if they get it. But I don't think there would be a good enforcement mechanism other than just relying on their honesty if it comes in.
Oh, okay. So we'd have a contract, but necessarily we don't know how we'd collect if that happened, I guess.
Yeah, and it might be just if they applied for assistance at some other time, if that you would, you know, ask them. I don't know. I don't think there would be a good enforcement mechanism other than to have them contractually bound to do it, but it wouldn't be like a lien on the property.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, if nobody else on the committee has a question, I've got a couple.
Go ahead.
Okay. Amy, the other thing you may want to make sure of is that the rent was up to date before this crisis hit, because otherwise it's just going to be not going to help them when eviction time comes around again.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
And would these payments be made directly to the landlords, or would they be made to the tenants?
That was my question.
They're made direct. They're made directly to the landlord. That's not normally how they do these rental assistance programs, but that's how they're going to do this one, is payments would be made directly to the landlord. And they're also going to do a visual inspection of the apartments or homes before they pay. They'll have to have a visual inspection.
And is there a way to prioritize people who have young children in the home, as opposed to just maybe, you know, just grown up?
Good question. I'm not sure if we can do that or not. That's a good question.
Okay.
But don't you think when they qualify under the income guidelines that having dependents in the household plays into that figure anyway?
That would certainly play into the formula, because, you know, it depends on your household size and the number of wage earners in the home. So, and certainly there, we try to address the neediest people first. Yes, having children in the home is going to affect the AMI level, and certainly make it easier for them to qualify.
I think the presence of that requirement with number of dependents in the household, regardless of age, is enough of a, prerequisite for qualifying.
So I have a question. So if they're going to do an inspection, a visual inspection, it means they're going in the house or the apartment, right?
Yeah.
If they find something, what happens?
That was my question too. I mean, the main thing with HUD funding is what they're looking for mainly is lead paint, especially when there's children present. And they do have programs to address lead paint. And I said, well, you know, I bet you find a lot more than just lead paint problems. I don't know. So I'm sure they will. And they said, well, that would be a code enforcement issue, and they'd have to work with code enforcement on that, with the landlord and the code enforcement, if there was other issues that they found.
So Amy, this is Robin. So checking the rental units is mainly to ensure that the landlord's premises are up to code.
Correct. And I believe, if I recall correctly, OCR was just asking for the landlord to sign an attestation that everything was up to code. Arbor wants to at least do the visual inspection, especially for the lead paint, just because that's a very stringent HUD requirement on lead paint. So, and we do have ways to address the lead paint.
Okay, thank you.
Any landlord that rents to any Section 8 tenants already goes through inspections annually, because they do that before they will sign the lease with the tenant.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got a quick question. Are we still getting a significant amount of requests for rental assistance? I'm just wondering if this is a program that we even need to move forward with pursuing.
Are they getting more requests?
Yeah, are we getting more requests? Is there people beating down the door for this bill?
So now that their home funding has been approved, they're actually starting to market more, that there is home funding available. They have a considerable amount of home funding available, much more than what we're talking about here, that covers three counties, not just Steuben. And they've just had that approved, so they're just starting to market more, that, you know, if you need assistance, contact us and, you know, get on the list and fill out the application. So I would imagine there may be more applications coming in. As of right now, we're still at 697 households for Steuben. And they've just started processing, though, so they're still because I'm like, well, how many people are we talking about in this 60 to 80% range? And they really don't have that number yet because they've had their staff is just getting back in the office. So they're processing those and they don't have a solid number yet on the 60 to 80% AMI households.
Okay, thank you.
So do I hear a motion or an amendment, or what's moving on this?
And this would be an amendment to our agreement with Arbor to allow some of those CDBG funds up to, I think I was suggesting up to $30,000 be used for rental assistance.
This is Mullen. I will make the motion, and along with the if people are receiving the $600 limitation, they will not qualify, and that if the people receive rental assistance from the state or federal government after this, that they will repay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any debate from the committee? If not, we'll take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, AMA carried.
Thank you, and I'll certainly report back on how that's all going, and you know, how many families we help and that kind of thing. I'll keep you in the loop on that. So my fifth item is just yesterday, I got another contract from DOT for just our normal operating assistance funds for 5311. What this contract covers is our 2018 funds, which they have not reimbursed us yet, and our 2019 funds.
So both years are going to be reimbursed?
Yes. Yep. This is for operating. This is for the bus, First Transit, and ARC of Steuben.
Okay.
This is Mullen, I'll make the motion.
Okay. I'll second it.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know why we wouldn't accept the money. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Hilda.
We're glad we're getting the money, but what have we been doing without it for the last 2 years?
Well, in the case of ARC of Steuben, we've been carrying it. We've paid, and we're waiting to be reimbursed by New York State. We have not paid the 2019 money to ARC of Steuben yet, because I've been waiting for this to come through. They have been paid their 2018, and First Transit has been paid their funds. So we've been carrying the load until they reimbursed us, and they're very behind.
Okay.
And so, this does not, oops, sorry.
No, it's okay, Amy, go ahead.
So this was for our 1920 application, and my immediate question to them was, well, what about our 20 money? This isn't in this contract, and what about our mobility management funding? And I guess those will come in another contract forthcoming. They keep saying early summer. Here we are. So so those will be in another contract, our 2020 operating and our mobility management program budget, which we have advanced. So
what I heard was ayes to carry this motion, but I didn't ask for any nays. I'm going to do that now. Were there any nays to that motion? Hearing none, item is carried. Okay, Amy, is that the end of your list?
I do have two additional items that came up because of the situation with public hearings. There were two public hearings that there was a resolution that you approved for Ag District public hearing but we pulled it from the March meeting, and we had also, your, this committee had also approved a public hearing for community development block grant. And now with the change in dates on executive orders, we still can't hold in-person public hearings apparently at the end of June. So we really need to have a community development block grant public hearing this month. We're anticipating applications, and we can't submit applications without this hearing. I was told CFA was going to be on their usual schedule. I don't see that happening because it's June now, and we haven't had any CFA announcements. But we do have a Woodlands application that we need to submit, and we can't until we have this hearing. So I talked with Brenda yesterday, and there's a way we can do this by taking written comments. So we would just need your approval to have this public hearing by written comments this month. And then we would need to amend our resolution for the Ag District public hearing so that in July we can go either way, I guess. We can either have it in person or we can take it by written comment depending on what the situation is in July.
Ms. Mullen, I'll make the motion.
Paul, I'll second it.
Okay, but I just have one question. Are we publishing or notifying the public on the public hearing process in our usual manners?
I believe they still get published, and Brenda can probably answer this better, but we still have to publish the same notifications just with the ability to submit written comments.
Right.
Okay.
That was the reasoning to bring it back through committee so that we have the authority to accept written comments. So that will be included in the public hearing notice.
Okay. All right, thank you. So do I hear, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carried. Anything
thank
else,
you.
Amy?
Thank you, that's all I had.
Okay, Jack Wheeler, county manager, anything?
Nothing from me. I don't know if Kevin is on, but we do have the designation, as you mentioned earlier, Robin, of the CVB as our official tourism promotion agency. They have to get that designation for their state funding.
Yeah, it's a resolution that we do annually through the committee. I see no reason not to do it today. Just checking though, Kevin, are you on the line?
I'm here, yes.
Okay, great. Any comment you want to offer? Not that we really have any questions. It's pretty standard, but go ahead.
No, I'm just here looking for that resolution that we do need to submit for our matching funds grant application.
Mrs. Mullen, I'll make the motion.
And a second.
Okay, motion and second. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, carries. There you go, Kevin.
Thank you. Good to see everyone.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a better time the next round.
All we see is your pencil holder.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, it's my pencil holder. Sorry. My daughter made that. It's very nice.
I do have a question that I wanted to ask.
Okay, go ahead, Aaron.
Last meeting, I had sent some information about basically the district attorney being able to require owners of animals that are seized by the county to post a bond, or if they don't, to allow the county to have them sold by order. And I was just wondering if, I know Jennifer had was going to pass it on to Brooks, and I was just wondering where that was at, because I think it's something that would be very helpful.
Is Jennifer?
Aaron, this is Jen. Yep, I'm here. I did talk to Brooks about it, and I'm just refreshing my memory of our email chain. He said he was aware of the Ag and Market section, But in this particular situation, there was no nothing that he could pursue with regard to a civil judgment. Everything was in rough shape, so there was little value. So he is aware of it, and he is taking it into consideration when these pop up, and in this one, it wasn't worth pursuing.
But I didn't think the issue was what we could get against them as a judgment, but just said it would allow us to sell them and not have to pay thousands of dollars a month to care for them anymore.
It was partially, too, as he had explained that it was evidence at the point for the prosecutorial portion of it. So it's a balancing act of when you can sell them and can't sell them. And it was an evidentiary issue in the prosecution portion. So that was the discussion with him. He knew the county was being billed via the SPCA, but wasn't aware of how high that could get up to. So we did talk about that. So he should be factoring that in going forward.
All right, I'll just talk to him some on it too, though. Thanks.
Yeah, and we had a chain back and forth. We haven't obviously been able to speak in person, but we did email back and forth quite a bit about it, so.
Okay, Aaron, does that answer your questions, at least for the moment?
Yeah, I'll I don't need to talk about it anymore at committee today.
All right, any other business to be brought before the committee? If not, a motion to adjourn.
Motion, Hannah.
Mullen, second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.